I hope you brought your Bible with you. It is prayer meeting night. And usually if you go to prayer meeting Bible study, you usually carry a Bible, don't you? Turn your Bible to Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8. And I want to talk to you just a little bit tonight. I got thinking today, you know, all these young preachers call me a dinosaur. And they say I'm out of date and all that stuff. But I just had a spiritual birthday yesterday. Wasn't it yesterday, the 5th? And I was born again March the 5th, 1978. Eastside Baptist Church, about 12:15. Sixth pew on the left-hand side. The 300th verse of Just As I Am Without One Plea. And I accepted Christ that day. I was born again, so... there's some things I don't want to forget. And I forget a lot. I do. I forget a lot. My mind's not near like it used to be. But there's some things I don't ever want to forget. Amen? And that's one of them. That's one thing. I don't want to forget that. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2, if you look at it, "And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee, and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no." Now he told the children of Israel, "I'm going to let you go in the promised land." He said, "But I've kept you out here for a purpose. You've been out here for..." They were still his children. But he let them wander in that wilderness. They didn't get to go in the promised land. And then when finally, when he got ready to let that next generation go on, he was trying to explain to them the purpose, but he said, "Now, I don't want you to forget, I kept you. I fed you. I took care of you. I clothed you. I gave you water out of the rock. I gave you manna from heaven. I protected you. And, the cloud by day and the fire by night. And I was with you everywhere you went. And I want you to remember that." And I'm afraid a lot of Christians don't remember some things they ought to remember. So I got to think about it. I was born in 1954, April the 16th. I know I look younger than that, but I was born 1954, April the 16th. And this fellow gave me this book one time, 1954 pages of time. So I looked it up. In 1954, the average income was $3,960 a year. That wouldn't even buy you a car now. The new car cost $1,700. Brand new. A new house, the average house was $10,500. A loaf of bread was 17 cents. You remember that, don't you, Billy?
Close.
A gallon of gas, are you ready? 22 cents per gallon. That was high test, 22 cents. Yeah, you old, bro. A gallon of milk, whole milk, 92 cents a gallon. Sweet milk, that's what we called it, sweet milk. Dwight Eisenhower was the president. Richard Nixon was his vice president. The measles vaccine came out. Life expectancy was 68.2 years old then. If you live past that... Now, my mom was born in 1919. She retired when she was 60 years old because she said she didn't think she'd live long enough to get Social Security at 65. Then she lived to be 99 and a half. And she was fussing about Social Security one day. I said, "Mama, you done drawn out my Social Security. You had 8 more youngins. You done drawn out their Social Security. You done drew out 10 or 12 strangers' Social Security." But the average life expectancy was 6.2 years. And the minimum wage, are you ready? 62 cents an hour. Amen. And so, I'm pretty old. But I got thinking about that. Now, I didn't grow up in a Christian home. I didn't know nothing about God. We had a family Bible, but nobody ever read it. Sat on the coffee table, collected locks of hairs and four-leaf clovers, you know. And we didn't know God. We didn't go to church. I wasn't saved till I was 23 years old in 1978. But there's some things I don't want to forget. Look at Isaiah 46:9. Isaiah 46:9, if you will. He says, remember the former things of old. For I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there's none like me. He says, now you remember those former things of old. It don't hurt to look back. It doesn't hurt a bit. Matter of fact, if you don't look back, sometimes you're going to go wrong going forward. But I got to think about that. There's memories can cause pain or happiness. You remember that old song, Precious Memories? How they linger. Jason Coley loved that song. He'd sing that song, Precious Memories. I like that song. But as you remember back, you can have some memories of disappointments, and it will discourage you. And there's some painful events. Everybody had them. Everybody's had painful events. And if you've been over 10 or 12 years old, you have. And there's dangers back there. There's some dangers. If you look back, there's some dangers. You'll warn yourself, I can't do that again. That's a danger. I tried that. That didn't work. It's dangerous. But then there's also some things that you ought to be able to do, like the Scripture says. We used to say, I remember when. I remember when. So I got thinking about some things I remember when. Now, I started preaching 2 years, I think, after I was saved. I was licensed in 83. I was ordained in, 81. I was ordained in 83, I think it was. I've been preaching a long time. Now, not long as you, preacher, but I've been, for this crowd, I've been preaching a long time. Okay, he's been preaching since before I was born, probably. But I've seen some things. I've experienced some things. I think the younger people just don't know these things. Somebody forgot to tell them. And so I wrote it down. Hebrews 10:25, he says, not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. I remember, believe it or not, I remember, even though I wasn't raised in church, I remember when most people went to church. My family was in the minority. Matter of fact, Mama wouldn't cook on Sunday. She cooked all her Sunday dinner on Saturday. On Saturday night. She said she wasn't cooking on Sunday. It was Lord's Day. And she wouldn't let me go fishing on Sunday. She said every fish that I caught on Sunday, in hell I'd get a fish hook in my mouth. She really told me that. She really told me that. She didn't know no better. That's just something she'd heard, you know. But I remember when the Lord's Day was the Lord's Day. And me and my brother used to hide out. We wouldn't go out and our friends wasn't home anyway. They was gone to church. We'd hide out until we saw them come home, and then we'd go out and play with them. But if we saw them coming home, we'd hide in the back of the house when they came home from church, because we was ashamed we didn't go to church. I remember when most everybody went to church. Y'all remember that? Some of you don't. I remember when most didn't work on Sunday. Matter of fact, it was against the law to work on Sunday. Most people didn't work on Sunday. Since I've been saved, I've lost some jobs because I wouldn't work on Sunday. Lost job. I'll impress you. I worked for Duke Power and quit because I wouldn't work on Sunday. I did. But I remember when everybody didn't work on Sunday. Unless you was a doctor or a policeman or something like that, people didn't work on Sunday. And now you can't get people to come to church regularly because they say, I have to work. And they get mad at me when I say quit. Well, I lose a lot of money. I have too. But that's between you and Lord. But I remember when nobody worked on Sunday. Y'all remember that? Hey, I remember when most, when they did go to Sunday meeting, they wore their Sunday meeting clothes. You remember that? We called it our Sunday best. Now, I never owned a suit till I got married. And then I got saved after I got married. But when I went to church, I felt out of place. So other than my wedding suit, I had a nice suit that I got married in. And my dad-in-law tied a tie. He's about that tall. And I had to leave it tied up because I didn't know how I'd slip it over my head. And that's how long the tie was. Because I didn't know how to tie a tie. And he ain't that tall. He tied it on his neck, and then he gave it to me. I slipped it over my head, so that's how long my tie was, my first tie. And then I remember buying a blue denim casual suit. Y'all remember them? Yes. Had collars down to here, you know, them big old collars, looked like Elvis. And But I remember when everybody wore their Sunday best, if it was overalls. They wore their clean overalls. They polished their boots. They wore their best church shirt, whatever that was. But now, people get mad at you when you talk like that. But I remember that. I remember when most people assembled twice on Sunday. You remember that? You remember when most people went to church twice on Sunday? In Sunday school. Now you can't hardly get them to come one time a week. It's those new hippie preachers that did that. Amen. I'm going to preach it anyway. I remember when you went to church, there was enlightenment. Not just a book report or some stupid story somebody made up, but there was enlightenment. You learned something about God when you went to church. And when you left, you said, man, I felt good about church today. I learned something about the Lord. Y'all remember those days? Now you go in, they give you bubble gum and ice cream. We used to get meat, the meat of the word. Amen. And I remember when there was excitement at church. You remember that, Jeffrey? When up north, did they have excitement at church? Okay. When he first came down, it was culture shock, but he's getting better. But hey, I've seen them do everything at church. I've seen them run the aisles. I've seen them cut cartwheels, man. I've seen them weep and cry and wave and dance and somebody said, you think all that's of the Lord? They asked me about my church. They said, you think all that shouting down there on Sunday at your church is of the Lord? I said, you think all that sleeping at your church is of the Lord? I said, better than getting drunk. They used to get drunk. Now they're shouting. Amen. I remember when there's excitement. We still have it around here on Sunday. Amen. Every once in a while we'll have a visitor in. I get to preach and I look over there and they're scared to death. I think, boy, this is the last time they'll ever come in here. I remember that day they gave us that check to pay off the building. People was walking around crying and shouting and hugging and, thank you, Jesus. We had some visitors. I thought, man, they'll never come back. Took 15 minutes to calm this crowd down. I thought, oh, we'll never live it down. But amen. I remember when there was excitement at church. You remember that? I remember when there was encouragement at church.
Yes.
I mean, you went to church, you're feeling bad. And by the time you left, you felt good. Amen. And you felt you could go another week. Y'all remember that?
Yeah.
That's what he said. Remember some things. We need to remember this stuff. I'm afraid most Christians not only forgot where they came from, where God saved them from, but they forgot where they ought to be right now.
Yes.
Amen. But I remember it. I remember sometimes I'll come in this church, I'll be discouraged, and about halfway through the service, the Lord will show up, and I'll leave out of here, and I'll say, man, I'm glad I went to church today.
Yes.
I remember when salvation was a change. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature.
Yes.
I remember, is this on? Amen. Some of y'all look like it ain't even on. Listen, I remember when I got saved, I walked in that door one way and I walked out different. Amen.
Yes.
I walked in worldly, lost, walked out saved on my way to heaven. I got a new mind, I got a new heart, I got a new spirit. Hey, I was so happy I could hug a tree, man. I loved everybody. I loved everybody. And I remember when that happened. I remember like the Gadarene maniac. He come run down the hill naked and cut up. When he left, he had on a Sunday suit and he was healed. Amen. The Bible says he was in his right mind. I'm afraid half the people that live around nowadays, they're not in the right mind. They need to get saved. Amen. Amen. I remember the woman at the well. She walked down there at the well just like she did every day. None of those women wanted to have anything to do with her. She'd left man after man after man, and now she was living with a man who wasn't even her husband. And Jesus told her. And she said, who are you? And he said, if you knew who I was, you'd ask me to give you a drink of water. And he said, if you ever drink what I have to give you, you'll never thirst again. And she said, evermore give me to drink. And she received Christ and she left there and said she went back into town. She said, come see a man that told me all I'd ever did is not this the Son of God. I remember when people got changed, don't you? Now they come down the aisle chewing bubble gum and laughing. And they leave the same way. And the next week they get mad because I tell them they need to put some clothes on.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. They're so easily offended. Amen. But you get you a new mind. The Bible says the brethren are not easily offended. Preacher, I like it when you preach right at me. Point your finger right at me and preach. That day I got saved, that big old fat finger of Bully Foggenberry, I felt like he was pointing right at me. Every time I looked up, he was pointing right at me. I like that. I'll drive hours to go somewhere to hear some old-fashioned barnstorming, window-rattling preaching. Amen? Because I'm anew. Now, before, I didn't like it. I didn't like it. Didn't agree with it, you know. But now, I remember when people got saved, don't you? I remember when they lived differently when they got saved. Amen. They didn't go back to the same old. They didn't go back to the hog pen. They lived differently. Amen. You remember that, Tom? You're a good example. Amen. You didn't go back to the slop. You're sitting at the king's table now. Amen. I remember when people were consecrated. Do you know what consecrated means? It means you set yourself apart for God. You consecrate this vessel. You make it for God, not you anymore. I remember when Baptists did that. Now you talk like that and they look at you like you're speaking Greek or something. Amen. I remember when people would consecrate themselves. And then they'd sanctify themselves. They'd set themselves apart for God's work. You remember that?
Yeah.
It happened to me. Some of y'all just looking at me like, what in the world is he talking about? I need to preach this on Sunday, don't I?
Yes.
Amen. But I got thinking. I remember when people were devoted to God. They wasn't part-time Christians.
Yeah.
We got so many part-time Christians now. God cannot build a work on part-time Christians and leftover pocket change. He can't do it. And I remember when people were devoted to God, devoted to the work of God. What can I do? Hey, let me help.
Yes.
They wasn't part-time. People show up. The guy showed up last Sunday. I walked over and shook his hand. And I stared at him. He said, what you doing? I said, I'm trying to see if I remember who you are. I said, I don't ever see you no more. Where you been? But part-time Christianity is not real. It's not real. See? Would you want to go to a part-time doctor? How about a part-time dentist? There ain't no such thing as a part-time Christian. You got born again. That's a new life. And look, that's 24/7.
Amen.
I remember when the sermons were challenging. Paul told Timothy, he said, you preach the word. You be instant in season, out of season. That means when they want to hear it, when they don't.
Amen.
Amen. And look, he wasn't looking for men's approval. He was just preaching for God's approval.
Right.
And because of that, it challenged men and women. It wasn't one of these little, this stuff on television, little panty waist preaching. It wasn't nothing like that. It was old-fashioned, leather-lung preachers. Amen? I mean, they would preach. It wasn't this nickel-nipping, penny-pinching, soft-soaping, ear-tickling, back-scratching, pink tea and lemonade stuff. It was the old-fashioned preaching, and it challenged you to do something. I'm going to get up here, when I leave here today, Lord, I'm going to quit this.
Yes.
Or when I leave here today, Lord, I'm going to start that. Or when I leave here today, Lord, I'm going to get this right. I'm going to go see this person. It always challenged you.
Amen.
Now you go to church, the biggest challenge you get is offering. More. More. But they were challenging. They challenged sinners about their need for salvation.
Right.
The average preacher now, when he talks about sinners, he...
Yes.
Don't want to hurt your feelings now.
Well, when he wakes up in hell, he's going to be mad at you for not hurting his feelings.
That's right.
It hurt my feelings. Jeffrey, didn't it hurt your feelings? For somebody to look at you and say, you're a dirty, rotten sinner. You're going to die and go to hell. You need to get born again. That hurts your feelings. I remember when preachers used to do that. They challenged sinners. They showed them their need. You know why these couple old boys got saved recently? It's because the scriptures and the preaching of the Word of God challenged their heart and their mind that they were sinners and they needed a Savior. Amen. See? And not only that, but the saint, it challenged saints. Old-fashioned Christianity sermons challenged saints about their negligence. Every Sunday I say it. If I don't, Danny reminds me. Three to thrive. You can be saved, not go to church if you live out in the wilderness somewhere. I said, but the Bible says you ought to go to church and you ought to go three times. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. By the way, we have Sunday school. Where you been? And people, you say, well, you going to run people off. Where am I going to run them? They ain't in yet.
Yeah.
I mean, they ain't got run in yet. I'm trying to run them in. Challenge them about making some commitments to God, commitments to the work of God.
Yeah.
I remember when it used to be like that. Boy, I've been to some old camp meetings. By the time the invitation was given, you'd feel like you was about that tall. And you was the worst, sorriest Christian that ever walked. And you'd run down there at that altar and get on the altar and just weep and cry out loud. I remember, some of y'all ain't never been to camp meeting. I know Nazarenes still have them. Amen. I don't know if they got that worldly music yet or not, but that's what's ruined most of them. But hey, go to them old-fashioned camp meetings. Those old leather lung preachers, they get up there and preach and scream and holler till they get hoarse. And you be sitting there and say, if he'd shut up and give the invitation, I'll go down! Y'all remember that? If he'd just shut up and give the invitation, I'm ready! Amen. I had a fellow leave out here one day. He said, preacher, you could have cut that sermon short. You had me 30 minutes into the sermon. I was ready. Amen. Amen. And I'm going fast tonight. I remember when preachers didn't look at the clock. Turn to John chapter 16. John chapter 16. Turn over. I'm going to give you a few seconds to get there. Now I'm talking about precious memories. God said, you need to remember what I've done for you. You need to remember where I brought you from. You need to remember what I've done for you. And you need to remember, there's some things you ought to do too. You're not saved by works, but James said, show me your faith and I'll show you my works, because faith without works is dead. In other words, it's not real. It ought to change. Amen. Now, now, John chapter 16, verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I remember when preachers were more concerned about people than they are now. They were more concerned about people being convicted by the Holy Ghost of God and being convicted about sin, righteousness, and judgment. You see, if a preacher doesn't preach that, he really don't care about the people he's talking to. Now, I don't expect this to be the biggest church in town. I mean, if it is, that's fine, but I don't expect that. Because in here, we talk about the Holy Spirit. And because of what he does, when you talk about him, you put him in the equation, people are convicted of their sin or their lack of righteousness and the judgment that is to come. Now, pastor don't care about you, he never preaches on those things. They were concerned having holy congregations, not huge congregations. I'd rather have 12 people full of the Holy Ghost living right than I would to have 12,000 playing the rock and roll band with the flashing lights and the rolling smoke. I'd rather have a holy congregation than a huge one. Amen. Because see, in a holy congregation, you can feel the power and the presence of God. You can see Him work. You can feel Him. You can hear Him work. But in a huge congregation where they've sold out for money, prestige, power, crowds, you'll never feel the touch of God. So they have to tell you little sad stories to make you cry. They have to tell you how you can stay rich so you'll keep coming, putting more money in that plate. But the pastor used to care more than they do now. It's just a show now. It is a production. Yeah. Lady told me the other day, they have a little, well, I don't know how little he is, autistic boy. Sets up front and he sings. And you know how they sing. Real loud. They sing. We used to have one. They're real loud. And they approached her about, you know, going to talk to him and asked him and his daddy to move to the back. She said, I'll leave church while I do that.
Yes.
Because if you don't want those people up front, you don't want me. Because you don't want God. That's the ones He came to get.
Yes, sir.
Amen?
Amen?
Amen? Amen?
Yes.
And now, the crowd's growing because, look, it was hurting their production. It was hurting their entertainment. I'd rather have a room full of little old boys like that, little girls like that, than have the richest people in town, the biggest crowd in town. Because you see, God's going to show up when that boy sings. I don't want to use words. I really don't know his condition, but I have a nephew who's slow and he's emotionally handicapped. He was saved riding a bus to Gospel Light Baptist Church in Walkertown, Winston-Salem, North Carolina. He was saved on the church bus. Later on, my sister was saved riding that same bus, and she was educably slow and emotionally handicapped. Can't take pressure of any kind. Can't talk plain. She's in heaven now. They let that boy sing in their choir. Their choir of 150 people. He's this tall. He stood out in the choir. His teeth are all jumbled and sticking out. He sings through his nose. He talks through his nose. They let him sing.
Amen.
They let him preach on that bus. He said he was going to be a preacher. They let him preach on that bus. They took him down to the nursing home. Let him preach down at the nursing home. God blesses that place.
Yeah. Amen.
My brother got saved. My oldest brother got saved, and he was in another church. He took him out of that church to a little church up there close to Pilot Mountain. And they got out of that church because he didn't like that when he didn't get saved there. But a few years later, my sister passed away, and that pastor's son, who was the assistant pastor of that church of 4,000 people, came to my sister's funeral. Now, you think God blesses that place because they got a great big old band. They don't have a band. They don't have any colored lights. They don't have any rolling smoke. They don't have any praise teams. They got an old-fashioned choir, a grand piano, and an organ. They sing out of the hymn book. And God blesses that place because they love people more than they love prosperity. I think God's more concerned with a holy congregation than He is a huge congregation.
Amen.
I remember those things. And as long as I live, you're going to remember them too. Because I'm going to tell them to you over and over and over and over. There used to be a girl come to my church. She said, "Preacher, I got all your jokes and your stories numbered. I done heard them all. So from now on, all you got to do is say story number 10 and we'll all laugh." precious memories. I remember Jason Coley getting out of the bank sometime, walking all over the church, screaming and hollering and spitting and sweating. Didn't embarrass me a bit. I'd say, "Preach it, preacher, go ahead." I mean, he walked over to his nephew one day, sitting on the end. He reached over on that earring and said, "Boy, you're getting rid of that earring. No, you're not wearing that earring in here." Amen.
Yes.
I'm telling you, we need to keep our memories.
Yes.
There ain't nothing wrong with our memories. God gave those to us. Amen. And God said, "I want you to remember where I brought you from. And I want you to remember what I've taken care of you. And I want you to remember the good times and the bad times, but you need to remember every day wasn't like today. And you will cherish your Christianity better if you'll remember the past."
Amen.
Somebody asked me the other day, "Have you heard what they were doing over here at the Elevation Church?" I said, "Nope, don't care. I don't care what they do." Because 10 years from now, nobody's even going to know that place was there. It'll be gone.
Yeah.
But I'd rather be in a little old country church where people love God and they got precious memories, and they'll stand up. That little black lady stood up Sunday night, and she comes from that Pentecostal background. You can tell she holds back. She holds back. Yeah, she holds back. She wants to kind of, you know, but she holds it back. And but she'll testify and preach in her testifying. You ever seen that? We say we don't believe in woman preachers, but you open up the testimony floor and some women's preach some of the best sermons you ever heard in a Baptist church during testimony time. Sister Brenda Coley used to do that. She'd preach for 30 minutes during testimony time and straighten them women out. Tell them they're wearing their dresses too short and their sweaters too tight. Yeah. Amen. She would. She'd preach. Precious memories. Amen. You know what I want to remember? I remember when my children got saved. I remember when they got baptized. I remember when I got baptized, my granddaughter. Oh my goodness. What a blessing. She's 18 years. Ain't she 18 now? 18. And I got to baptize her. She's a good Christian. I remember my daughters growing up working in the church. Oh my goodness, don't lose those. God's been good to us.
Amen.
I remember when we started on John Street over there. We might have 10 on Wednesday night. It's a low crowd tonight, but we might have 10. But Lord, all ever serves wherever we're at. God blessed it over there. And now we're over here and He's blessing every service we have. Don't you forget it. Don't you forget it. Don't let your kids forget it. Don't let your grandkids forget it. God said, "There's some things I want you to remember. I want you to remember where I brought you from, and I want you to remember how I took care of you, and I want you to remember where you're fixing to go." He said, "You're fixing to go into the promised land."
Right.
Take these memories with you. Let's stand. Father, thank you.